Have you ever gotten a phone call from a telemarketer? And they begin to tell you about this program, or they begin to tell you about your credit card and how they think that somebody is, you know, getting into your credit card, or you need to extend your warranty for this. And they begin to tell you these stories, and you listen to either the live, but anymore it's a recording, and you hang up on them. You don't believe them. You don't believe anything they tell you. There's a lot of people today that are trying to tell you things that you just don't know whether they're telling you the truth. We're getting into a presidential campaign where we're going to hear a lot of promises and we're going to hear a lot of accusations from both sides of the aisle as well as from some of the little smaller groups that are out there. And for many of us, we're just going to say, who can I believe? You turn your television on at night, and it used to be that you could trust the newscasts, but anymore, you just don't know what kind of slant they're coming from, or if they're telling you the whole truth, or just telling you part of the truth, or they're telling you a fib. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want to know the truth. I just want to know what is true. Can I really believe it? This introduction to the Gospel of Luke, which is unique from all the other Gospels because it's the only one that the human author identifies himself and is in the first person. Luke is convinced and has researched what he is writing. Other people have written other biographies of Jesus. We know of Matthew and Mark, and John more than likely was after Luke's, but there were many others, and some of them were true. Matthew and Mark's were, John's was, but some of them may have been fabricated, and some of them may have told stories that weren't quite there, and Luke is trying to make sure that what we're reading about in here, he has done his research so that we can be sure that what we know is the truth. So why are there four gospels? There are four gospels. It'd be nice, wouldn't it, if there was just one gospel and one story? There are four gospels that gives us four different perspectives. Matthew talks about Jesus as a king. Mark talks about Jesus more as a servant. The Gospel of John talks about Jesus as the Son of God, and Luke talks about Jesus as the Son of Man. Luke, by vocation, was a doctor. He gives more of the humanity of Jesus. We will discover some amazing things of the humanity of Jesus and what he is. And Luke is unique. 60% of what is in Luke's gospel is not found in any other gospel. It's the longest book in the New Testament. It's the only book that's written by a non-Jew in the New Testament. It's the only one that tells us the story of the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the rich man and Lazarus. It's the only one that tells us about Jesus talking to the thief on the cross, and he trusts Jesus as his own personal savior. Even though Matthew talks about the birth of Jesus and the visit of the wise men, it is only Luke that tells us that the angel Gabriel came and talked to John the Baptist's mom or dad and mom and Mary and the actual birth of Jesus and the visit of the shepherds. Talks about the birth of Jesus. It's found nowhere else. There's some amazing things that we're going to discover as we go through this, but this introduction is really all about how you can trust what he's already written. He is a master historian. And so the first kind of point that I want to make that we find out here is that you can trust Luke's gospel because Luke is historically accurate. He mentions here, he says, many have written, but he talks about here, he says, they've delivered him, and I've gotten this from eyewitnesses. He's researched everything there is out there. He's got it from reliable sources, and I'm going to write it all down. I've researched all of this, and I want you to know that it's true. It's not just a fable. It's not just a make-believe story. It is actually true. I've researched this. And the message this morning, I not only want to deal with Luke's gospel, I want you to know, not only can you trust the fact that Luke is historically accurate, and by the way, Luke not only was the human author of the Gospel of Luke, he was also the human author of the Acts of the Apostles, which we call Acts. He wrote both of those. Historically accurate. But even beyond that, the Bible is accurate. The entire Bible. The Bible is 100% accurate and has no mistakes. Luke is unique in the fact that many times he mentions places. He mentions, and we talked about this in a small group going through the Bible, he mentions names. He puts dates. He says things that to prove him inaccurate, all you would have to do is prove that place did not exist. But here's what's amazing. And just in Luke's gospel, let alone the whole Bible, it is true. In Luke's gospel, he mentions some things that at first people were questioning. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 2 that we're familiar with the birth of Jesus, he mentions some things here. Luke chapter 2 in verse talks about the taxing that brought Jesus to Bethlehem. It says in verse 2, this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. He talks about these kind of things that were going on. He didn't have to put names and emperors and when it all happened. But since he put them in there, now we can verify the accuracy of what he has said. Well, here's what's amazing. For years, archaeologists never came up with the fact that there was any kind of a census or anything, and some of these people that were in there, they didn't even have any names of them. But as archaeology has developed, they have discovered that what happened, according to archaeology, is exactly the way Luke said it happened. They found, and we go into Acts, is even more amazing, because if you follow the travels of Paul, you find out that he would name city after city after city. And some of the cities, they said, oh, we don't even know if there is such a city. Archaeologists have found that they have such a city. It's crazy. There was a guy by the name of Sir William Ramsay, one of the greatest archaeologists. And especially in the Middle East, he set out to prove that the Bible was full of errors. And as he used archaeology as his tool to debunk Christianity, he realized that everything in here was true. He couldn't find one mistake. And this is what he said. This is his quote. He says, Luke is a historian of the first rank. Not merely are his statements of fact trustworthy. This author should be placed along with the greatest of historians. He became a Christian, which many atheists that try to debunk Christianity have. He became a Christian in his search for trying to find the falsehood of the Bible. We can trust the Bible. You can trust your Bible. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to have joy. The whole thing. Nothing has been proven inaccurate in the Bible. It's not a geography book, but everything it says about geography is true. It's not a history book, but everything it says about history has been found to be true. It's not a biography, but everything about the people that it mentions has been found to be true. It's not a medical book. It has no errors. You can trust what it says. The second thing I want to deal with about Luke is that Luke leads to belief and trust. The reason why he wrote it is he wrote it to a guy named Theophilus, which is kind of a neat name. Does anybody know what Theo means? You come with theology, Theo? God. Theo means God. Theophilus. Philus is where we get Philadelphia. It means love. And the name Theophilus means a lover of God. And we're not for sure if this Theophilus was a Christian, a new Christian that needed to have his faith reinforced, or if this was a non-Christian that was investigating Christianity. We're not exactly for sure. But as he wrote him, he says in verse 4, he says, the reason why I wrote the whole book is that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And I want you to know for sure that what you have been taught about Jesus is absolutely true. For many of us in here, our philosophy is, if the Bible says it, that settles it. That's good enough for me. In other words, I don't need any proof. Whatever the Bible says, that's mine. But we live in a world of skeptics. We live in a world of people that say, you need to prove it to me. Luke is the perfect guy. He was writing for the critics, for the people that began to ask questions, and what about this guy, and what about this place? He researched it, went through eyewitnesses to find out what it was. The word eyewitness is interesting. It's from the same Greek word that we get the word autopsy. They go, what in the world? You know how when they need to have an autopsy, it looks like this, but we need to do an autopsy to find out the exact cause. We need to do a little bit further investigation. And Paul went as deep as he could to find the truth of what he wrote about. And he did it so that he could believe him. So he could either trust Jesus Christ as Savior or trust what he has heard. And so I have about the whole Bible. The Gospel of Luke leads to belief and trust. And the Bible itself was written that people would trust Jesus as their own personal Lord and Savior. The reason why we have a book is so that people can know how they can have an eternity in heaven. That's what it's all about. There, I mentioned a lot of atheists have in their struggle to disprove Christianity have believed in Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis, who wrote The Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. Josh McDowell, so you've heard of him. Simon Greenleaf, who was the founder of Harvard Law School. Lee Strobel, we've talked about him a lot, was a journalist for the Chicago Tribune. C.S. Lewis said, I gave in, when he trusted Christ, I gave in and admitted that God was God, and knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night I was the most dejected and reluctant convert in all of England. He did not want to become a Christian, but he was convinced that it was true. And he said, I had to bow my knee and pray to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Okay, so what if it's not true? What if Jesus wasn't the Son of God? What if the miracles are made up? What if it never happened? And I'm being a little bit on the devil's advocate side. If it really never really happened, and we're living in a fairy tale world where instead of in the beginning, we should have started once upon a time, if it never happened, that may be even a greater miracle than what actually happened. Because that means that a mortal man or a make-believe person changed the world, the course of history. 2020, everybody uses that year. It marks the distance before and after from the life of Jesus. Jesus has changed the world. And if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, let me just say this. There is not enough proof in the world to push you over the edge. For some reason, God has designed this world to be that you have to trust him. There has to be a little bit of trust. He has enough evidence out there. If somebody doesn't want to believe in God, they've got evidence that he's not there. And there's the same evidence another person could look at and say, you know what, I believe in a God. How can the same people look at fossils and come up with completely different answers? It's because of what they want to put their trust in. Jesus has changed the world. For many of us, he has changed our life. He has given us so much peace and love and joy that we would amen the fact that he has changed my life. And I would just encourage you to trust Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior. One of my favorite little readings, if you want to call that, is was actually written by an anonymous person. And this is one. It's called One Solitary Life. And I just want to close with this. He was born in an obscure village. the child of a peasant woman. Until he was 30, he worked in a carpenter shop, and then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He wrote no books, held no office, never owned a home, never in a big city, never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did any of the things that usually accompany greatness. The authorities condemned his teachings. His friends deserted him. One betrayed him to his enemies for a paltry sum. One denied him. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he owned on earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave. 19 centuries have come and gone, yet today he is the crowning glory of the human race, the adored leader of hundreds of millions of the earth's inhabitants. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the rulers that ever reigned, put together, have not the effect of life upon man on the earth so profoundly as that one solitary life. Jesus can make the same difference in you that he has made in us. Maybe today you're just sitting there right now and you say, you know what, I do. I need to take that step of faith to trust Jesus as my own personal Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're here and you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and as we're talking about sharing the gospel, oh man, your heart rate went up. Or maybe you said, I am not going to do that. I will do everything else, but I will not share my faith. I hope that you'll reconsider, because the greatest thing that you could do for somebody is to tell them about Jesus. And if you're here and you've never trusted, the greatest thing you could do for yourself is to trust Jesus. So as we begin this year, let's just spend a little bit of time praying about winning somebody to Jesus, or about giving our life to Jesus today.